Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Good morning, everyone. And we are reading from the beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. This is, we're in the 12th canto, so this is a summary of the whole Bhagavatam. And it's such a beautiful, it's the perfect, spotless Purana. And when you delve into it, and the more you read it, you can listen to it, you will get your soul, it enlivens you. It's not different than Krishna. So we're reading from the 12th canto, text 12, text number 30. We're going to, Kesava Prabhu is going to just read the translation, and then we want to go right into, after that, we'll have a couple of responses, if you like, and then we want to go into the, I have three videos I want to show you. So, and this is pertaining to the verse. So, okay, so we'll do the translation. Sanskrit, yes.
Venukasya sahabratu. Pralambasya cha shanshaya Gopanam cha paritranam Davagne parisarpatah Denukasya sahabratu Pralambasya cha sanshaya Gopanam cha paritranam Davagne parisarpata Denukasya sahabratu Pralambasya cha sanshaya Gopanam cha paritranam Davagne parisarpata.
Anyone else? Okay, so we're going to skip the word for word because we got three videos we want to play. And let me read the translation. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells how Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram killed the demon Dhenukasura and his companions, and how Lord Balaram destroyed Pralambasura, and also how Krishna saved the cowherd boys from a raging fire that had encircled them. And these are one thing I would like to comment on. Yeah, you can proceed, Kate. I hope everyone at home has these this here, little Krishna, especially for your children. These are wonderful, wonderful animations for grown people or anybody. And the devotees who put these together are fabulous. I was hoping, and I think I told one of Yadabar, I told him if if I have to take another birth, I hope I'm born into a family where they're wealthy, and so I can make a movie of these Christian pastimes. Because like over in India, they have that going on, but here in the United States, they spend millions and billions and billions of dollars on these movies, and they don't know that these Krishna pastimes are so much packed with adventure, romance, and everything, you know. So, if someone did that, I hope somebody's hearing. They can purify themselves and the whole world, you know. The United States is it's a big media giant, you know. But anyway, so we're going to proceed with the videos. Start with the one on the list, please. Thank you.
Than mangoes. Mother's nose speaks the truth. It does smell wonderful. Let's find out where it's coming from and fill our stomachs. Oh, but we have to stay here and look after the cows. Huh? The cows? They're gone.
Don't worry, Subala. The aroma must have seduced them as well. And I know just how to find them. Madhu's nose will lead the way, and we will follow.
And my stomach will not be far behind. This place looks familiar. I don't think we should go in there.
We'll have to if we want to get our cows back.
They're eating the fallen fruit.
Oh, it's the demon.
Dhenuka.
Oh, then this must be Palavan. Oh, I think I just lost my appetite.
You'll lose your head if Dhenuka catches us in Kamsa's orchard. We must leave at once.
Wait, we have to get our cows first.
Balaram is right. And if we are going to lose our heads for that, we might as well die in heavenly bliss with our tummies full of that delicious fruit.
But I don't want to die. Not even for the best tasting fruit in the world.
Don't be so scared, Subala. Krishna won't let us die. Venukasura may be strong, but Krishna is an expert in killing all kinds of demons. Subala, Shridam, you get the cows. The rest of us will collect enough tal fruit for all of Vrindavan.
For stealing Kamsa's fruit, I shall blast into a bitter brew of death. Protect you now.
Krishna, he wasn't protecting us. He was just playing with you. I, on the other hand, am not as playful.
Then you shall be the first to feel my rage.
brings you to the scorched world, my old friend?
Orders from Kamsa. We are to destroy the Angel of Death before he can destroy Master Kamsa.
Woohoo! Grab hold, Krishna!
The losers will carry the winners on their shoulders to the river and back. Blowing over you.
don't want your friends to see the great hero burned alive.
Oh, it's not that I'm concerned about. It's just that I did want them to see the horrible fate I have in store for you.
Chapter 19, Devouring the Forest Fire. While Krishna and Balaram and their friends were engaged in the pastimes described above, the cows, being unobserved, began to wander off on their own, entering farther and farther into the deepest part of the forest, allured by fresh grasses. The goats, cows, and buffalo traveled from one forest to another and entered the forest known as Ishikatavi. This forest was full of green grass, and therefore they were allured. But when they entered, they saw that there was a forest fire, and they began to cry. On the other side, Balaram and Krishna, along with their friends, could not find their animals, and they became very aggrieved. They began to trace the cows by following their footprints, as well as the path of eaten grass. All of the boys were fearing that their very means of livelihood, the cows, were now lost. When searching out the cows in the forest, they themselves were very much tired and thirsty. Soon, however, they heard the crying of their cows. Krishna began to call the cows by their respective names with great noise. Upon hearing Krishna calling, the cows immediately replied with joy. But by this time, the forest fire surrounded all of them, and the situation appeared to be very fearful. The flames increased as the wind blew very quickly, and it appeared that everything movable and immovable would be devoured. All the cows and the boys became very frightened, and they looked towards Balaram the way a dying man looks at the picture of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They said, "Dear Krishna and Balaram, we are now burning from the heat of this blazing fire. Let us take shelter of your lotus feet. We know you can protect us from this great danger. Our dear friend Krishna, we are your intimate friends. It is not right that we should suffer in this way. We are all completely dependent on you, and you are the knower of all religious life. We do not know anyone except you." The Personality of Godhead heard the appealing voices of his friends, and casting a pleasing glance over them, he began to answer. By speaking through his eyes, he impressed upon his friends that there was no cause for fear. Then Krishna, the supreme mystic, the powerful Personality of Godhead, immediately swallowed up all the flames of the fire. The cows and boys were thus saved from imminent danger. Out of fear, the boys were almost unconscious. But when they regained their consciousness and opened their eyes, they saw that they were again in the forest with Krishna, Balaram, and the cows. They were astonished to see that they were completely free from the attack of the blazing fire and that the cows were saved. They secretly thought that Krishna must not be an ordinary boy, but some demigod. In the evening, Krishna and Balaram, along with the boys and cows, returned to Vrindavan, playing their flutes. As they approached the village, all the gopis became very joyous. Throughout the day, the gopis used to think of Krishna while he was in the forest, and in his absence, they were considering one moment to be like 12 years. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 19th chapter of Krishna, Devouring the Forest Fire.
Okay, Hari Bol, can you cut the lights on, please? Turn it off, please.
And now, chapter 18. Killing the demon Pralambasura. After extinguishing the devastating fire.
Okay, so, and once again, I want to emphasize to the audience here, if you don't have a copy of these Little Krishna, you should get a copy, especially the children and the grown folks. Because this, you know, we watch them at home sometimes, and it's always entertaining to see the animation. See, actually, when we're watching something, we're doing the video plus reading the video. You're in the alpha state when you're watching something, so it goes into your consciousness a little deeper. So that's very important to understand that. Now, the last video we played was extinguishing the forest fire. Now, I'm quite sure all the devotees here in this room, they've had experiences. Maybe I know for myself, I've had some health crises, and I'm getting old now, so I'm always having some kind of health crisis. But anyway, I find myself, when I'm having any kind of crisis, I always take shelter of Krishna, you know. And this is what devotees do. This is, you know, Krishna is our life. So when something happens, the only thing we can do is take shelter of Krishna. Krishna is, the body is his, the soul is his, everything is his. So, and when you become surrendered, I'm working on that, when you become surrendered, then you just take shelter of Krishna and leave it to him. So anyway, I have some questions for everyone. Does anyone have anything they would like to share in terms of how they took shelter of Krishna during something happening in their life?
Just like to mention that in Vrindavan is a place called Dava Nalakund, and that's there's actually two stories of fires in the Krishna book, and so one of the fires that Krishna swallowed was at this place in Vrindavan, Dava Nalakund, and it's only about a mile and a half from Krishna Balaram Mandir. And when I was living in Vrindavan, I used to walk there fairly often. And it's a really beautiful kund, surrounded with, kund means a small lake or a place. Actually, it's built of, now they have cement around it, and means that steps going down and people can get their water by walking down. And a lot of cows live there, and there's big, huge beehives in the trees. And of course, there's some monkeys, you know. But that place is there. And it's a very, it's an awesome place of pilgrimage, you know.
Thank you, Mother. Would anybody else like to share? The question is, share some experience that you went through where you were dependent on Krishna.
I had an incredible experience on the interstate. When I left here in 2005, I was in California, and I was coming into LA, which I don't do highways, interstates very well, because people drive like complete idiots. And I got here in the worst possible time of the day, and the faster people got, the more they closer they got to me, the more panicked I got, the slower I got. And I remember just screaming out to Krishna in the car. I mean, just totally, I said, this is it, I'm gonna die, like right here. They're gonna just crush me, they're gonna run me over. And all of a sudden, it was just pure magic. It was all this space that wasn't there before, in front of me, behind me, and beside me. He totally cleared everything. It was incredible. You laughing at that story? You don't believe? You have little faith? So I thought it was an incredible experience. Krishna really took care of me. Always thank does.
thank you for that, Mother. And one thing, there's somebody else. Yeah, just hold on to the mic. If somebody else would like to share an experience where they were totally dependent on Krishna, well, we're always totally dependent on him. But one important thing to remember is that what increases faith is, let's put it like this, when we have faith, Krishna reciprocates with us. And sometimes we don't even know he's reciprocating with us, but sometimes we do. And so when Krishna is reciprocating with us, and then we like somehow or other, our mind just like says, wow, this is Krishna reciprocating, and this experience happened, and it increases your faith. You know, and it happens a lot of time, on book distribution. I do book distribution, and you see I do it out of my ride-sharing car. And a lot of times, Christian will send a person back to me after they got a book. Christian will send the person back to me, and I get a chance to talk to them and things like that. And yesterday, I had an interesting experience. I was coming out of a store in Gainesville. So I was trying to hurry home. But anyway, I had some, I approached this gentleman who was trying to sell him a Bhagavad Gita. So anyway, and when you're doing book distribution, it's Krishna is arranging these experiences that you go through. And so anyway, so I got to I started talking to the gentleman, and he was a student at the University of Florida. He was a engineering student. So anyway, we were talking, and so he was a devout Christian, and sometimes they say don't argue with some Christians about Krishna consciousness. So anyway. We got to talking. We was going back and forth, and he was trying to preach to me, and I was listening a bit. But anyway, as time went on, he told me that he had had Krishna lunch, and I was saying, wow, that's so nice, you know. He said, oh, you're talking about Krishna? I said, yeah. And he says, yeah, I've had Krishna lunch. I go there. Whenever I can, the meal is affordable, and all that, you know. So I was like, you know. So then he tries to start telling me about Christ and everything again. I won't go into detail, but the wonderful experience about this is that Prabhupada said when people get prasadam or they get a book, this is implanted in your this. It's all transcendental, and it impacts you whether this life or the next life. You know, he did get a higher taste book, and because I was explaining it to him about the importance of being a vegetarian, very important, just even not on the spiritual platform, just being a vegetarian. And so this is, you know, just like Prabhupada says, in order to feel the reciprocation with Krishna, we have to do outreach. And fortunately, in this community here, we have a lot of avenues to do that. We have so many Rath Yatras and things like that. So, but anyway, let me ask you this. Are there any more experiences where we had to depend on Krishna? Anybody else? We have one mother in our audience, and I want to put her on the spot, but she's 90 years old, and she's a Prabhupada disciple. And I got introduced to her the other day. Oh, 93. Okay, 93. Okay. And what's your name, Mother?
Maharani.
Okay. So that's a blessing to have your association. And Prabhupada says that we should anybody who is older than us is our senior, especially if they're a Vaishnava. So it's very important. So anyway, we're glad to have you here at New Ramarathi in the community and everything. So are there any more questions or comments? Any more questions or comments? Okay, and now one very important thing about the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the 12th canto, and The Bhagavatam is a very, very important literature. We should try to spend some time reading and reading it to our children, or if you don't have time to give your full attention to reading, there are so many avenues where you can listen to it. You can Google Srimad Bhagavatam audio, and Amala Bhakta. He's a Maharaj now. Anyway, Amala Bhakta, he narrates it, and you get the translation, and he has a beautiful narration voice and everything else. So it's very, very purifying. And we're so fortunate, due to Prabhupada's mercy, we're so fortunate to be able to experience these literatures. And the more you read them, the more you do the outreach, the more it becomes a part of your life. And we have to remember is that we're going to be, I remember my dear God sister, Mother Indrani, she used to tell me all the time, she says, she was in her 80s, and I would go see her at least twice a week or more. And she was experiencing a lot of pain and in relationship to her spiritual body and all this. But she was always so, I remember one time when I was talking with her, I could see her grimacing because she was going through some pain. But it didn't affect her consciousness. We were holding a conversation, and she was just so joyful and loving and everything. And I was thinking, as after she left, I really miss her. But after she left, I thought about that experience, and I was thinking, wow, this Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it invades your consciousness. It actually takes over your consciousness, and this is very important. If we try to situate our day where we think about Krishna all day long, and I'm gonna tell you this: if you chant to Tulsi, and if you chant to Prabhupada, because it's Prabhupada is when you're chanting and you're looking at Prabhupada's picture or your spiritual master's picture, you're connecting, because they are going to be the ones who's going to introduce you to Krishna, and so your desires will start. The more you chant, the more you connect with your guru, your desires will start changing. Because a lot of times we have these subtle desires and we don't even understand that we have these subtle desires. And they're there. And sometimes I remember when my guru Maharaj was leaving his body, and he had to experience a lot of pain and things like that. You know, he had some loving disciples that took care of him. And I remember when he came to Chicago, we had set up about five or six programs. He used to love program. And this was when he had his leg amputated. And I was awestruck to be able to just see how a person who is that devoted, and he was still trying to reach out and touch people's lives, and he was oblivious to the pain he was actually going through. I can't stand pain. If I get a little pain, I'm like, my mind is all over the place, you know. And I'm really trying to work on trying to take full shelter of Krishna. But But I remember my guru, Dave, he was saying that he was fortunate in his life that he didn't have much pain until he was getting ready to leave his body. And then his caregivers, they didn't want to give him a lot of painkillers, painkillers, things like that, you know. So anyway, the important thing is to, like, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you get a chance, read the story of Purojana. Read that story. It's very, very, very important. We've been experiencing that story. And it talks about experiences of leaving the body and Purojana's experiences, and he had to take another birth in a woman's body. And fortunately, he was born into a woman's body, but it was the woman's father was a king. So anyway, in this particular life, he was able to concentrate more on Krishna, and he went back home. But the whole moral of the story is that in terms of our consciousness, we're all pretty old here. Now we're getting old, you know. So we have to start thinking more intensely about Krishna. And ironically, we're in the 12th canto, so it's, you know, these pastimes of Krishna will keep us focused on Krishna. And one particular story I had to depend on Krishna. I was living in Chicago, and I was doing delivery. I was driving, so I was going down the expressway about 70 miles an hour. So there was a truck in front of me, and this particular truck, it had this big, huge, some bricks or something. It was something to do with construction. So anyway, I'm driving, and then all of a sudden, this big, huge, it was about a little smaller than the bottom part of the Vyasasamy. This big, huge brick, and it was concrete, it flew off the truck. And I was like, uh-oh, this is it. I mean, you know, because this was heavy. This was a heavy thing. And so immediately, at that time, I started thinking about, fortunately, I was able to think about Krishna. But immediately at that time, I started thinking about Lord Nishrimadev, and then all of a sudden, this thing, it was an absolute miracle. This big brick bounced. It bounced like a ball. It bounced out the way, and I was like, "Wow, that's amazing!" You know. Then one last time I had this experience, I was living in St. Louis. And this particular time, I did one thing about Krishna. I saw this car coming. I was driving, and I saw this car, and all of a sudden, it's coming on the driver's side. It was an older car. I could see that the guy lost his control of his brakes. Or his brakes went out or something. I saw the car coming toward me, and I was like, and at that time, I wasn't thinking about Krishna. The car hit me. It hit the driver's side. Fortunately, I got a bruise on my arm. And then the guy jumped out, and he didn't have a driver's license, insurance, or nothing. I was like, wow. So he told me, well, please don't call the police. I'll pay for your car. And he paid for it. I didn't call the police. We just let it go. But anyway, what I learned from that is I was reflecting on that particular incident after it happened. And I was thinking, I said, I wasn't thinking about Krishna at that time. And suppose I left my body. Maybe I might have came back as a demolition person or something, whatever. But anyway. So it's very important thinking about Krishna all the time. try to live our life where we're thinking about Krishna all the time. And this is very important. So anyway, we'll stop there. Are there any more comments or questions or